This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, man, it's a victory reaction Monday. 23-20 was the score for your Texans over the Colts. At NRG Stadium, it was good to be back home after a couple of weeks on the road. Good to see the smiling faces of Texas fans. Good to see a game where the visitors did not really descend upon NRG as well.
That too. Because it's been an ongoing theme for a while.
Yeah, I made note of it to you during the game or before the game where I was like, hey, it doesn't feel like there's that many Colts fans here. And that was a nice thing, is just to see that a game is largely Texans fans there to celebrate. And
did they get there early?
No.
Let's be honest.
We can move on.
We ain't got to talk about it.
People were real excited, real hyped for the Andre Johnson ring ceremony.
We can move on.
Real excited for that. I don't have nothing to say about
it. It is what it is.
Has been.
Maybe not the early turnout did not hoop in some ways, but let's talk about who hooped on this in this victory that, look, should not have been nearly as close as it was. There's a lot of things, but this is not the time for the nitpick. The nitpick is coming up at 1 p.m. here in Lou. Right now, let's be happy about this. So let us know on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610, who you believe hooped. And I would like to start with this gentleman on the defense, because the defense really did what they needed to do. And it feels like every week there's one dude who's everywhere. This week, Eric Murray was the man who was everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere.
Two passes defensed on the first drive, I believe.
Correct.
And three passes defensed altogether. Made some big plays. I think he was out of sorts on one play, but that's going to happen. You know, he got pushed out of the play, you know, sort of a pick play or whatever. But he absolutely, and this goes back to, you know, the whole culture thing I was talking about. You're worried about who's going to step up, you know, when safeties are out and all this other stuff. Didn't miss a beat. I still think that their safeties could use some help. But, man, that was you couldn't come up with better timing for him. I'm going to say this one, and I think we're traipsing into territory of taking them for granted, which is a great thing when you can take them for granted. I'm going to combine Will Anderson and Danielle
Hunter.
Let's
do it.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
You've got the bookends that you hope to get, and they are starting to ramp up, you know, getting home. 16 pressures combined, 3 sacks combined,
that's
12 hurries combined. You know, isn't it good? Like, we're like, oh, hey, they had 3 sacks. No, man. Like, we're almost taking them for granted.
That was the thing. Yeah. This was going to be the next thing for me, so I'm glad you stepped right in and mentioned it. Man, I told you, during the course of this game, I turned to Brandon Scott, and I'm like, best unit on the team by far is this defensive line. Obviously, largely because Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter get after quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that I had already in this game, coming into this, we had that conversation. I was like, I think I am letting go of the expectation that they need to hit the quarterback. Just keep him corralled.
Yeah.
But they applied pressure. They hit the quarterback. And they got physical on him. Now, of course, it's another thing now where you need to bring him down, because that is a tough you-know-what to do that with. But, like, they got it back there and they hit him. Now, they did allow him to escape a little bit more than I cared to
But 12 hurries.
Cared to see, but a lot of hurries made it a tough on him. And there was a couple instances where it was very evident that them touching him made him not throw the ball, or throw the ball even worse than he typically would, because he had some really bad throws, Anthony Richardson. But yeah, no, this defensive line continues to be that level of good, and there's stats to back it up, right? And this is per Will Kunkel of Fox 26. No quarterback has thrown for more than 175 yards in Houston this season. Caleb Williams had 174. Trevor Lawrence had 169. 131 for Josh Allen, and 175 for Anthony Richardson. And a lot of that, big plays, big pass plays. 10 for 32, Anthony Richardson. And a lot of that, again, some really good pass breakups, mm-hmm. and plays on the back end, but a lot of that is up front.
You've got your bookends. And at one point I turned to you, I think it was a Will Anderson's first sack. I said, you know, think about Anthony Richardson. He is so big, so fast, so strong, but so was Will Anderson. Like, Will Anderson chased him down from behind, and just, it wasn't even close. I mean, just wrapped him up, just took him down.
I mean, again, I highlighted it earlier. I mentioned it earlier, the idea that you can go into these late situations, less than 2 minutes. It's only a 3-point lead. And in theory, a team only has to go, what, about 40 yards, get themselves in field goal position. And that is real treacherous territory. That defense is on the field, and you don't feel a level of impending doom or dread. You're like, nah, they can handle this. And they did. Twice.
Yeah.
Twice, because you went offensively, and okay, and this is not the nitpick time, but you went offensively, and basically we're just like, we're going to try and take those timeouts and give you the ball back.
Yeah.
That's all you did on that drive, and it did not matter, because you give the ball back, you're like, the defense, once again, will stand on their head. And what do?
They did.
Stand on their head.
They absolutely
salute
did.
To those fellas on the front line of that defense. And I guess salute to the fellas on the back line of the defense. I talked about Eric Murray. Mm-hmm. Also, Kamari Lassiter, thanks for coming back, dog.
Oh, that was going to be another one of mine.
We missed you quite a bit, buddy.
I, you know, from training camp, I'm like, the ball skills. This guy just knows how to get to the ball. Boy, did he. Because he was actually beat on one and still broke up the play. It was an underthrow, but he still broke it up. Kamari Lassiter with three, you know, passes defensed, and just finds a way to break things up. He was fantastic. And Derek Stingley had one, wasn't really thrown at as much, which would be understandable.
Yeah.
But Lassiter stepped
up. There was one throw, the AD Mitchell there, that was close.
Yeah, it was.
Like, I think honestly, on that play, Stingley might have gotten like the slight, like a fingernail on the ball, but it still landed in AD Mitchell's hands. Thankfully, he just didn't get both feet down.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thankfully, you got a lot of hooping on that defense. Would you like to? Is there anybody else defensively that you want to salute, at least in the hoop category, before we get into like an honorable mention version of the hoop hooped?
Like I said, Lassiter and the defensive ends were it for me, big time. Oh, and of course, you know, for all the ups and downs of Jalen Petrie, huge play.
Yes.
Enormous play.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the coverage is, especially when he gets to cover in zone. Mm-hmm. Like when he gets to cover in a way where he's looking back at the quarterback as he covers, he you know, faints a little bit and kind of baits Anthony Richardson and throwing a pass, and he goes and gets it. That's the second week that we've seen him do, or we've seen guys on this defense do that exact same thing.
Yeah.
When he gets to play downhill, he is so fun to watch play football.
He's in the right spot.
And even in just like more man coverage, he played pretty well. Now there was that one kind of screen play down the field where he gets picked off, and you know that goes for
the
touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I blame him for that situation. He seemed to be...
He got knocked down.
About a half step off of that wide receiver, which, look, I always feel for cornerbacks when they have to cover a wide receiver all the way across the field. That's one of the most impossible things to do, right? Yeah. So staying about a half step on it was about what you could ask for, and then he gets screened off. That's tough. I don't know how much I can knock him for that.
Yeah.
But like Jalen Petrie has played really well, especially when he gets to play to his strengths, going and hitting the quarterback, you know, coming downhill, making tackles. He made an incredible tackle on Jonathan Taylor in
that
open space.
Yes.
Like he deserves a lot of credit in this game. A lot.
To be called a hooper in this one. No doubt. Offensively, I mean, well, let's not bury the lead. I mean, Joe Mixon is just a ridiculous.
He's
just ridiculous.
You can build the entire offense out of Joe Mixon.
He's the MVP of the offense right now.
Without question.
Right?
Without question.
I mean, CJ Stroud does his thing, but I don't know where they are without Joe Mixon doing what he's doing.
Right, and it seems like they're doing better at like involving him a little bit in the pass game as well, and maybe that's just like reactionary. Maybe that's a little too being too close to this particular game as opposed to the others. But this dude is incredible. Block it up or not. And if you block it up, I'll give you even more. Like he plays, and if he starts and finishes a game, it's 100 yards counted. That is not something to be scoffed at by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and he absolutely, with Arian Foster in the building, he's not built like Arian Foster. Normally doesn't have the style of running that Arian Foster had, but on that touchdown run with the high step and the spin. And the way he hit that hole kind of looked like Arian Foster on the big touchdown run that tied it at 10.
Yeah.
Even though his body type is different.
He's so strong.
Kind of looked like that. Another one for me, boy, this was a relief. Just an absolute, like when Stephon Diggs went down, I'm like, well, everybody was. But
correct.
I'm like, where's it going to come from? Tank Dell, it like they flipped a switch. Like all of a sudden, okay, I'll start playing, you know, and stepping into that role. I thought Tank Dell really stepped up at a perfect time.
He played pretty damn well. I also would like to give some love to Dalton Schultz in this, because on National Tight End Day, it felt like there was a real connection with him and CJ. And I don't know exactly how to quantify or qualify it, because, I mean, it was a 4-catch, 52-yard day. Like, I don't know how, and maybe my brain has just been skewed from seeing Nico Collins constantly put up like 135,000 yards a game, right? but if it feels like Dalton Schultz at 52 was like, okay, it's solid, but on the field, it felt different. It felt like, you know, the warm comfort blanket that is a tight end for a quarterback was reestablished in a way for CJ. And that felt like it meant something in the course of this game. So shout out to Dalton Schultz finding that space again, where on a big national tight end holiday, he delivered in a way that it felt like he was kind of sliding away from.
Yeah, and that ties in with another one, which I think some people might argue with this, that he hooped. I think he did, and that would be Bobby Slowick. Hold on. Not everything.
What game was you watching?
Yeah, well, this one. But
here goes Lopez.
And let me
changing it. I'm turning the
music. Let me explain it. His approach to start the game was exactly what this team needed. I'm not saying he had a great game overall, but Joe Mixon.
Need to put down the pipe.
Two passes.
That's crazy.
Two pass attempts to him right out of the chute. You mentioned Dalton Schultz. We needed Dalton Schultz. They got Dalton Schultz. Cade Stover had a couple of catches. And then what was the big issue? You had in recent game, I forget which one, might have been the last one, where you had like one receiver basically with catches. You had five receivers with catches in this game. So I'm not saying that, look, give him the game ball. What I'm saying is his approach changed. Everything was on the table, and I think part of what was on the table is we got to start spreading this thing around. We got to start looking at the middle of the field, tight ends, backs out of the backfield, and they did that.
Also, they did some really fun split zone blocking stuff. And I mean, they've used some of it, but I think that he might have found a better situation running wise for the blocking scheme. It felt like, again, there were pockets where they blocked up really well. Now, of course, there were other pockets where it was really, really bad, especially like pass protection wise still. But I think that you found a little bit of something interesting there. Blocking wise, and it felt like there was more instances where they actually spread these things out. I think that I don't want to give us too much credit ourselves, but whether it was us or whether it was just like people talking about it or even just self-scout, because obviously there's plenty of people in that building capable of diagnosing football, right? I think that they looked at it and they took a good look and they realized, okay, these condensed 4-8 formations might not be helping us nearly as much.
That's what I'm saying.
Spread it out a little bit more. So yeah,
he had
there was some adjustment.
He had a different approach. Not always successful for four quarters, we know that, but five different receivers, two different tight ends, Joe Mixon out of the backfield, it was and the different formations and such. It was absolutely an adjustment he made that ultimately worked.
Some honorable mentions here. I want to make sure we've already talked about it a little bit. Salute Patterson, who comes in and immediately the run game offensively looks
like the best drive of the game.
Absolutely, 100%. That drive was the best drive of the game because Patterson comes in at left guard. It gave me a little bit of hope that this offensive line, once they get to that place, is going to be in a much better place. Now, of course, how much of that is the teams have not seen Jared Patterson in order to really attack him in a big way or expected, maybe did not expect him to be there. But you saw Gus Bradley get to a point where he identified number 76 as the mark. They're putting overloads over there. They're hitting him with stunts because they know he's not going to hold up. For that one drive where they go down and they score, that was not the case on Jared Patterson's side. Salute, man.
And maybe not in the category of absolutely hooped, but in the context of where he's been all year, got to give it to John Metchie. I gave up on the John Metchie game.
That's right.
I gave up. I was like,
you jumping back on?
No, I'm not jumping back on necessarily, but three big catches, one really big catch.
Hear that? He's not on, but he's not on. Okay. He's hanging off the back.
I can see it from here, but I'm not necessarily hopping on. That was a big play he made, and three catches, 29 yards for John Metchie. Stepping in when they needed a receiver.
Yeah, I thought that I was really happy for the most part with most of these guys when they stepped in. Robert Woods came in and looked like he gave what exactly you expect. What does the game look like with all these guys when that is the game plan going in? I still feel good. Like, I understand I would much rather have Stephon Diggs out there, but depending on what we hear from the MRI that it seems like he is getting today, right? Depending on what we hear, I'm still good with this wide receiving core as is. I know some people are like, go get Adam Thielen on a Panthers team that is woeful and is not going anywhere.
No.
I don't know that I appreciate that better. I don't know that I like Adam Thielen better than what Robert Woods or what John Mechie gives you. That's the depth that you have, and I think that's the reason why you have it.
And one more, even though he didn't carry the ball but once, how about old Damian Pierce on those returns? You know,
that's a great point.
Had a 45-yarder, had another decent return. You got to give it to Damian Pierce, and maybe that's his role ultimately. You know, that's what he did well last year. It's what he's doing well. He did well yesterday. Got to give it to Damian Pierce.
But flipping the field matters in such a big way. Like those, that big return is super useful. And, I mean, shout out to the dynamic return in general. We got a little bit more juice out of
Colts
it
had one
in this game. Now, of course, again, you didn't want it to be that way, right? You don't want the Colts to be able to do all that.
Yeah.
But I feel like the dynamic return might be ticking up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that make you
across the league? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make you hopeful at all?
Yeah. I mean, I've had high expectations for it, but we'll see.
All right.
Trending nicely.
Anybody else? Figgy, is there anybody that you saw in the course of this game that you're like, hey, man, these boys not giving the credit?
Nah, I think y'all gave everybody the credit, man.
Some love on the 5-Hour Energy fan line for 713 for Hutchinson. Seems like he has a big catch consistently. Okay. And that's going to be useful as they continue to go forward. 832, I liked what I saw out of Cade Stover. Stover had a play where he put his hand in the dirt where it should have been like a 2-yard play, and he turned into like a 14-yard play.
Yeah.
So shout out to Cade Stover getting involved there. Mm-hmm. Toriano and Stover felt like they were in quite a bit with some of those 12 personnel looks to probably run block more than anything.
That's that approach that changed.
Yeah, definitely did. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Texans victory Monday, Reaction Monday. Brought to you by Shoppers John Deere. Coming up next, it's about that time for us to get some lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next. Right here on Sports Radio 610.